Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 23. Wait, 23?
24. 23. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork. Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 23. I'm your host, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me today. I was very upset yesterday, and I'm going to tell you why right now. I recorded and did my whole podcast, and I realized the video that I'm trying to add to the podcast wasn't recording. So yesterday was not a great day, but I got everything set up now. And I am very excited to be doing this because I'm going to be adding the MIDI view and video, overhead video shot of the keyboard so that you can see what I'm talking about in the podcast. And I was just thinking to myself, like, well, you know, people are probably listening to the podcast and trying to play these things, and it must be so hard to visualize this stuff. So rather than just record the podcast for audio, I'll still put the podcast out there because I'll be talking about a lot of, you know, different points and stuff like that for interviews. But for the podcast lessons, I'll be adding the video for the MIDI so you can see the keys and the overhead shot of the piano. So you can go to the website, www.jazzpianoschool.com, go into the podcast section and watch the video if there's anything that you want to learn or play, or just visually watch me do the lesson while you're listening to the podcast. So I think it's going to be really beneficial. I'll have all the videos on YouTube as well, so you can access them if you're away from your computer on your phone or whatnot. But it's going to be, I'm really excited. So you're going to need it a lot in this podcast particularly, because we're going to be going over solo piano arranging. Now, up until this point, we've talked about a lot of basic solo piano stuff, and we've added, you know, some rhythms and bass notes and chords, but we haven't really talked about how to place your hands, you know, how to arrange the notes in a chord so that it sounds great and it fits with the melody. So that's exactly what we're going to be doing today. Now, it's kind of hard, and I have to give Becky credit. There's a follower who emailed me who just found my material, and she had recommended that she was, you know, to do a podcast basically on the arranging of the notes when going through tunes. And that's what she'd been recently working on. So Becky, hopefully this helps, and hopefully it helps other people as well, because I know when I first started, this was just really, really difficult for me, arranging the notes in a fashion that worked. I was always questioning things. Can I do this? Can I play it this way? And yes, you can always play it however you like, but obviously there are going to be better ways to do it so it sounds prettier. Have you ever played a tune and then listened to another person play a tune and just been like, why? Why does their version sound so much better than mine? And one of the things is because of the arranging, right? It's how they place the notes. So instead of playing a root position chord in your left hand, which you might be playing, they're taking some of the notes and transferring them to their right hand, so that's more spread out and it's more balanced. They're creating more of a balanced sound. So I'm going to show you how to do that right now. Before we get into that, again, I just want to tell you the website is www.jazzpianoschool.com. And if you go there, you can sign up to become a free member. I'm in the process of building a new website, upgrading basically the website, with a branding and marketing company by the name of Dreambox Creative, and they're great. He was one of my students, and he actually owns his own design and branding company. So we're redoing the whole platform. We're going to make it clean, easy to use, accessible, just, it's going to look phenomenal, and it's going to have all this material on, and it's just going to take it to the next level. So I'm really excited to do that. So let's get into the podcast now. And the first thing I want to talk about, I'm going to do a little talking before I do some demonstrating, so just bear with me here, but it's going to create a really solid foundation for your arranging when you're playing solo piano. The shells of a chord are very important in harmonies, and the shells of any chord are the third and seven of the chord. So if I play a C major seven chord, the shells of that chord, E and B, are going to make the quality of the chord. The root and the fifth are the two notes that are more like anchors, or serve more as the building blocks of the chords, while the third and seventh serve more as the colors that make up the chord. So if I change those third and seven to, let's say, a B flat and an E rather than a B natural and an E, it's going to change the chord completely, even though the anchors are staying the same. Right? Now we get a dominant chord. And if I do the same thing with a third, if I change the third and make it E flat, we get a minor seventh chord. So those third and sevenths are very, very, very important. Okay? So we want to be able to play the third and sevenths and pick them out of all the chords in a tune, or any chords that you're doing. So to get comfortable with a third and seven, what I recommend doing is this exercise, and it's great. Now this exercise is going to involve picking the third and seventh out of a chord. It's also going to involve voice leading the third and seventh through 2-5-1s. So when you play this exercise, you'll really get a good, clear understanding of how the harmonies are moving throughout a 2-5-1, throughout the progression of a 2-5-1. All my left hand is doing is playing the roots. So that's all it's doing. We're not doing anything else. My right hand, on the other hand, is going to voice lead our third and seven. So a 2-5-1 in the key of C has the chords D minor 7, G 7, going to C major 7. So my right hand is going to start with a third and seven of the 2 chord, my D minor 7. So what notes would those be? F and C, right, for my D minor 7 chord. So let's play that with the root in my left hand. Okay, so I have D in my left hand, F and C in my right. Now, I want to voice lead this third and seventh to the third and seventh of my G7 chord. Now, what are the two notes? What are the third and seventh of my G7 chord? Well, they're B and F. Now, I already have, I already have my thumb on my F. So the only note in order to voice lead I need to move is the C, and I need to move that down a half step to B. Now I'm playing the third and seventh of our G7 chord, but it's flip-flopped. So I have the seventh on the bottom now and the third on the top. So I have F on the bottom and B on the top. So I went from the third and seventh of D minor 7 to the 7 and 3 of G7. Now I want to voice lead my 7 and 3 to my third and seven of C major 7. So the third and the seventh of C major 7 are E and B. I already have my B from the G chord, so all I need to move is my F down to my E natural by a half step. Okay, so the full progression looks like this. So I've voice led my shells through our 2-5-1 progression. Now, I want to go through all the keys and do this. And it should be like clockwork, right? You shouldn't have to think about this at all. And this is really, really going to help your solo arranging skills in the next step when we look at it in a piece. So I'll go to the key of my F and just show you the same thing. So again, I'm starting on the third and seventh of my G minor 7, voice leading to my C7, and then down to my F major 7. Then I go to the key of B flat, I do the same thing. Key of E flat. Okay, and I just keep going through the keys. Now, on the 2 chord, I'm always starting with the 3rd on the bottom and the 7th on the top. But you want to go through all the keys and flip-flop that. So when you start with the 2 chord, when you have the 7th on the bottom and the 3rd on the top, then guess what? Your 5 chord is going to be flip-flop too. So instead of having the 7th on the bottom of your 5 chord, you're going to have the third on the bottom. So I'm going to start with 7 and 3 on the D minor and go to 3 and 7 of the G7 and then 7 and 3 of the C major. So you have two structures that you'll go through all the keys with. The first structure is 3rd and 7th, right, on the 2 chord, and then the second structure is 7 and 3 on the 2 chord. So that way you get all of the shells for every possible way. Now let's take a look at a piece. Let's take a look at a tune. And I'm going to show you the tune My Romance. Now, this is a little bit more complicated piece, but I wanted to pick a piece with a lot of melody notes so you could see how you could start to arrange the melody with the shells. Now, as you get more advanced playing solo piano, you'll find that your left hand does less of the work. The majority of your left hand, all the chords you've practiced and everything in your left hand, is going to kind of switch over to your right hand. So you want your right and left hand to be able to both play chords, right? Your right hand should be just as strong as your left hand playing chords. And if it's not there, then I'd highly recommend practicing both hands, all of your chords, right? Your major sevens, your minor sevens, your dominant sevens. But here's My Romance. So My Romance has a nice little melody, and we'll probably just do the first eight bars today. Okay, so that's the first little section of the melody. Now, if I were to approach a piece, let's say you guys don't know this, how would I arrange this, right? How would I get my chords in there with the melody and the bass notes and the rhythms? You know, there's just so many things to think about. So the great thing about this system I'm about to teach you is that it's going to sound great, it's going to be easy, and it's going to build a foundation that is going to prepare you for a lot of advanced techniques. So I don't want you guessing anymore what to add. I want you to start to add everything systematically in the way I'm about to explain it. So here we go. Our left hand is only going to have the root for now. That's all I want you to start with. Our right hand is going to have the melody because we want to be able to play the melody, right? But where the chords line up with the melody note, I want you to play your shells underneath that melody note. So in My Romance, there's a little bit of a pickup. And so My Romance, so right when I hit manse is where the first chord comes in, the B flat major 7. So I have, excuse me. So the melody note is F, where the B flat falls on that melody of F. So what I want to do is add the two shells of my B flat major 7 underneath my melody, okay? Now, I want to add the closest shells underneath the melody. So the melody note is F. Now the shells, right? You've been practicing your shells, let's say for a little while. You know that the shells of our B flat major 7 chord are D and A. So we want to play the D below the F. There's one of our shells, that's the third. And we want to play the seventh, or the A, below that D. So we're playing a triad right now that consists of, from the bottom up, A, D, and F. So when I hit that melody note with the note F on top, I'm going to add my two shells so it sounds like a chord. And all I'm going to play in my bass, my left hand, is my root. All right, so here we go. I'll play it really slowly. Right? And already, right? Already you can start to hear the piece come alive. And all I'm doing is adding my shells. Now, the reason this sounds so good is because, again, the shells are what brings the chord alive. The root and the fifth are just the anchors, the foundations. You don't necessarily need those to be prominent, but you need those shells close to the melody for the colors to ring out. So let's continue with the melody, and we'll do a couple more chords, okay, and figure out the harmonies. So we have this chord first. Now, the chord change actually moves before there's another melody note. So what do we do in that case? Can you think of it? All we have to do is move our shells of the B flat major 7 to the shells of the next chord without changing the melody. So the melody note just stays on F, and we're going to move our shells from A and D to the shells of the C minor 7 chord. And this is where our voice leading comes in. We don't want to jump, right? We want to make sure we move to the closest set of shells for that C minor 7 chord. Now, you're probably thinking, what are the shells of the C minor 7 chord? Well, the third is the E flat and the seventh is the B flat. So how do we get to those two notes without jumping? We want to move our A and D as close as possible. And they're actually really, really close, right? They're only a half step away from where we are. So the A slides up to the B flat and the D slides up to the E flat. So all we have to do is slide those two notes and move our root and we're golden. Okay, let's try this. Here we go. Did you hear that? So you hear that harmony movement, and it's so beautiful. It just leads into the next chord without even doing anything. We're just changing the shells. Right? So we have our melody, and that melody note is arranged with the shells below and the root and the bass. And then all we do is hold the F and change our shells to the C to match the C minor 7. Okay, and then we have our next melody. Okay, so now, did I play that right? No, I didn't. Yeah. So our next melody goes up to the F again, but the harmony changes again. So we move up to our D minor 7 chord. So again, we take the same process, guys. It's just the same process over and over and over again. Wherever the harmony lines up with the melody note, that's where we harmonize the shells of the chord underneath the melody. Now, by doing this, you're going to get such a rich sound. Now, again, your right hand's working a little bit harder, right? Your left hand's just playing roots for now, but I'm going to change that in the next step. So we want to move our shells from our C minor 7 to our D minor 7 now. So we just move them. Our melody note is F. So the F is actually the third now of our D minor 7. So we're going to be doubling the melody in the third and 7. So anytime the melody note is a third or a 7, you want to double the melody underneath. You want to double the melody underneath the melody. Does that make sense? Hopefully it does. So the melody note is F, which is a third, but that doesn't mean I don't want to play my third again below the melody note. The melody note is different, right? You kind of don't think of that as being part of the shells. So I'm still going to add my third and my seventh below the melody note, which happens to be the third in this case. So I'm going to add F and C below the melody note, which is F. So my chord built up is going to be F, C, F. Okay? So let me play this first, the first two bars here. Okay, now we're going to do the same thing I just did for the diminished chord. And again, we haven't talked about diminished sevenths too much yet, but I guess I'll do that in the next episode since we have one in this piece. But our diminished seventh chord, the way we make a diminished seventh chord is by taking our dominant seventh chord, our C7, or any dominant 7, I'm going to use C7 as an example, and we're going to flat everything except the root. So I'm going to take my C7, the notes C, E, G, and B flat, and I'm going to flat all the notes except the root. So I'm going to flat E, I'm going to turn it to E flat, I'm going to flat G, I'm going to turn it to G flat, and I'm going to flat B flat and turn it to A. So now I have a full diminished 7th chord, a C diminished 7th chord. But in this case, we have a D sharp diminished. Excuse me, a C sharp diminished. Okay? Now, diminished chords are usually used as a passing harmony. They're a very unstable chord and they like to move. So we use them as passing chords between movements, like they're stepping stones to get from one platform to another. You can think about them as that. So in this case, we have our D minor 7 going down by diminished to our C minor 7. So it's a nice chord to segue the D minor 7 into the C minor 7. Now the third and the seventh of our diminished, I mean the shells, excuse me, are still the third in the seventh of the chord, basically. So in this case, the C sharp diminished, we're going to have the notes E and B flat as our shells. And so that's going to be under our melody note. Okay, so let me start from the beginning here. Here's our B major 7, C minor 7, D 7. Now here's my C sharp diminished. I have A as the melody note. And now I want to put the shells of our C sharp diminished underneath my melody. Now the shells are going to be E. And I'm thinking in the key of C. E and B flat. Okay? So I'm going to put those shells underneath the melody and add my root in my bass. And it creates a really nice chord, like beautiful chord. And then that resolves to our C minor 7. Okay, and I have also the shells below my melody note, which is a B flat. So the shells of my C minor 7 are going to be B flat and E flat, and my melody note is B flat on top. And then the melody note moves down to A. And I also have the third and seventh of the chord underneath my A, the melody note. And then we're back to the F on the B-flat major 7. So I'll play the whole version. And again, guys, all I'm doing is adding the shells underneath the melody note. This is the simplest way you can arrange beautiful standards and make it sound like, you know, you are just way ahead of your game, right? But you will be. By using this technique, I mean, you're going to be on a very, very advanced level. So it's really going to boost your playing into that stratosphere, right? So here we go. Thank you. I would actually play the piece just like that. You know, I wouldn't add any, I don't really need to add anything in. You can play a beautiful melody just by doing that. So that is the first topic, the key that I wanted to give you guys to solo piano arranging today. I mean, that if you guys can master that in pieces, you know, if you can play through a piece, work out the shells, the harmonies, you should practice through pieces just voice leading the shells anyway. Like in this case, in My Romance, I would practice just my shells voice leading through all the chords. So I'd have B flat, major 7, so I'm playing A and D, that's it. In my right hand, my left hand has the root. Then I voice lead to my next set of shells, which is my C minor, right? And then D minor 7. Now here's my diminished, and then my minor. Now you'll find that your harmonies when voice leading are going to kind of move in a downward motion, and that's because everything's resolving down. Like I resolve down a fifth, everything's going to resolve in a downward motion. So sometimes you'll need to jump your hand back up when doing that exercise. So just find a good spot at the end of a phrase to jump your hand back up and continue to voice lead. So after I've started from the 7 and 3 of the B-flat major, I'd start from the 3rd and 7, and that's going to give me a new voice leading structure to go through my piece in. So here's the piece again. So you take on two different structures because instead of starting on the 7 and 3, I started with the 3rd and 7. All right, so that's solo arranging point 1, okay? Taking it to the next level. The next thing we can do is start to add in a one note in our left hand, okay, that may or may not work in certain times. Now, if you'll notice, and this technique is going to be similar to the first one, but at the same time, it's going to be giving you practice and a foundation that's going to allow you to do other things with your right hand. So it's a really good technique to practice. So in this first case, we would play the melody note and voice lead, and play the shells underneath our melody. So we have 3 and 7 underneath our melody. So here's the melody. So in this case, my left hand's playing B flat. My right hand has A and D underneath the melody note. Now what we can do is we can play 1 and 7 with our left hand. So instead of playing that A natural with our right hand, we're actually playing it with our left hand. And the only note our right hand is going to play in this case is going to be D and the melody note. So we're playing the exact same thing, but we're arranging our hands differently. Now this is going to free up my right hand to add more color tones in the future. And that's why this technique is so, so important. Because when we get into extensions and colors, if your right hand is, you know, encumbered with harmony notes that your left hand can take, then you're not going to be able to express as many colors as possible on top of the harmonies. So in this case, my left hand is going to play 1 and 7 the entire time. Okay, so here we go. So here's my melody. So my left hand's playing the 7 of the B-flat major 7, and my thumb is playing the 3rd, and my 3rd finger is playing the melody note. So my right hand has 2 notes, and my left hand has 2 notes. And then as I move to my next harmony, my right hand just moves 1 note, and my left hand is still playing the 1 and 7 of the C minor 7. Okay? Then we go to the D minor 7. Now in this case, right, since the melody note is an F, we only need to add the 7th in below the melody note. You could double your 3rd like we practiced down below. So that's one technique. Like if you move your left hand down an octave down here, then your right hand can take 3 notes. But the technique we're currently working on with your left hand always playing 1 and 7, the only thing that the melody needs right now is just the melody because it's the 3rd. So we have 1, 7, and 3. Those are the main notes you need in every single voicing. You need 1, you need 3, and you need 7. If you have those notes in a voicing, then you're good. You don't need any other notes. You need the root, because that's going to be the foundation, and you need the 3rd and the 7, because they're going to dictate the quality of the chord. If you don't have one of those notes in there, then you're missing something. So always check your voicings to see if you have the 1, 3, and 7. And if you don't, you need to add them in somehow, okay? So in this case, my left hand's playing 1 and 7, and my right hand's only playing the melody, which happens to be the 3rd, so that's all I need. Okay, so we have this. Now here, again, my right hand can take the 3rd because our hands have spread out now. So my left hand will have 1 and 7 of the diminished, and my right hand will have the melody and the 3rd of the diminished in my 2nd finger. So I have 2 notes in my left and 2 notes in my right. Okay, so here it is again. Now again, on the C minor 7, we have a 7th of the C minor 7 in the melody note. But since there's room to add 1 and 7 in my left hand on the bottom, again, this is why it's going to be so visually important to watch this episode, guys. This episode, more so than the others, is very visually, you know, targeted, because you want to see where my hands are. But on this melody note, I have the 7th, and I have room for my left hand to play 1 and 7. Now the 3rd is missing, so all I'm going to do is play the 3rd below my melody note with my right hand. My left hand has 1 and 7, my right hand has 3 in the melody note, 2 notes in each. Okay? Now it's times like this where we don't know where to move, because so far our melody, our root motion, this is getting into a little bit more advanced topics, but has been moving very close, like there hasn't been many jumps. B, this is our root motion. B flat, C, D, D flat, C. So by playing 1 and 7 all the time with my left hand, it's just been going, right? Not much motion. But now, in our 2-5-1, we jump from C, the bass motion jumps all the way to an F, like in a 2-5. So my left hand's on 1 and 7. So we'd need to jump to 1 and 7 of F7. So we're here on the C minor 7. Okay, now, my left hand has 2 options at this point, and this is what I want to talk to you guys about. In a big jump like that, we can jump, in, especially in a 2-5-1 progression, our left hand can go from 1 and 7 to playing 1 and 3 of the next chord, the progression. So the progression is C minor 7, it's a 2-5-1, to F7, to B flat major 7. So when voice leading my left hand, it only makes sense, because remember, we always want the root, the 3rd, and the 7th. We can play 1 and 7 in the C minor. Now we need to get to 1 and 3. So what's the easiest way to do that? Well, from the C to B flat, the easiest way to do that is to play, slide my thumb down to A, and play the F up next to the melody note, or excuse me, next to the 3rd. So we go from this to this, C and B flat to F and A. And that's how we voice lead our left hand. So now we just add the melody. Now, again, we're missing something, because in our left hand, we're only playing 1 and 3, and the melody is the 3rd. So what do we need? Say it out loud, the 7th. Okay, so we need 1, 3, and 7. So I'm going to add the 7 in my right hand below the melody, because that's what we were missing. Right? So we have, and then here's the melody note is F, and we're on B flat. So I can add the 7th in my left hand and the 3rd in my right hand, which is D below the melody. So again, my left hand has 2 notes, my right hand has 2 notes. All right? So that's arranging step number 2. Now, that was kind of complicated. So again, just to recap that, our left hand is only playing 1 and 7. And usually, our right hand has the melody with the 3rd below it. Now, you can double notes if you need to, right? So if the melody note is the 7th, then you can double the 7th in your left hand, because your left hand will be playing 1 and 7, and add the 3rd in the middle. And that's completely fine, okay? But when you have jumps, right? Let's say the motion is small, you'll stick with 1 and 7. And voice lead your 1 and 7 in your left hand. But when you have 2-5-1s or jumps, then you'll want to voice lead those 2-5-1s from, this is just your left hand, 1-7 to 1-3 back to 1-7. And that's the pattern for voice leading a 2-5-1. So we have 1-7 on the 2 chord, C and B flat, F and A, the 1-3 on the 5 chord, and then back to 1-7 on the 1 major 7. Okay? So here is the melody with my left hand with 1-7, my right hand with the melody, and my thumb of my right hand taking the third below the melody. Okay? Sounds pretty good, right? Now, by doing this technique, again, it frees up more fingers within our right hand to play color tones. Right? I added a nice little 9 there. Okay. So, but work on those two things. The first step you want to work on is adding the shells below the melody note with your right hand. And the only thing your left hand is going to do is add the bass note, because we always need the bass. The next step is to have your left hand playing 1s and 7s, okay? And your right hand will have the third and the melody note. So left hand has 1 and 7, right hand has third and melody. That's step number 2. Now, when we combine these two steps, we can change the texture, right? So let's say I want, because my bass notes down here are going to sound different than bass notes up here, right? If I have 1 and 7 up here, or just 1 down here and 7 up here, this sounds different than this, right? So let's say I want to have my left hand down below with bass notes, but my right hand's going to take the first technique we went through. So shells in my right hand, just bass note in my left hand. Let's say I start off with that. I can switch my technique now to technique number 2 that we talked about today. So my left hand has 1 and 7. My right hand has 3 in the melody. And by changing the technique, it's going to change the texture. So you're going to get a different contrast. So it's going to sound slightly different. That should be minor, sorry. So I changed the texture. So you can flip-flop techniques back and forth, and you'll get different textures. So sometimes, you know, the level that you want to strive for is where you can flip-flop back and forth without thinking. So sometimes I'll have my melody note with my shells in my just my right hand, my bass note just my left hand, and sometimes I'll be voicing my hands where my left hand is playing 1 and 7, and my right hand has the third in the melody. Okay? So that's a really good introduction into solo arranging for piano. Now from here we can do a lot of different things. Oh my God. But I'm going to take it step by step. I'm losing my voice. Step by step with you guys, so that you can make good progress, right? We don't want to go too fast, because building a foundation is very, very important. That's what I always teach. I always, you know, strive for that with all my students and all my material and the course that I'm going to be releasing in the next couple months with Dreambox Creative, which you guys will be able to sign up for soon. Well, not soon, but in the next couple months. I build such a good foundation with everyone that it just guarantees success. Like, you can't not make progress by going through these foundational exercises. You just, it leaves room for no holes, you know? So that's why I love teaching this way, because you make faster progress. It's exponential, right? It just curves upward. Otherwise, you go up and then down and then up and down. And it's like a roller coaster if you're not practicing these fundamental concepts. And that's why it's so important to work on your technique, your harmony and theory, and your repertoire. And within those three categories, the three categories I teach, which will be in the course by the end of the year, you're going to get everything you possibly need in order to make progress and be able to play anything and everything you want at any time. So work on your solo arranging techniques. If you want to see the video of how my hands are spread and you can see the MIDI notes, go to, what episode is this? 23. Go to www.jazzpianoschool.com/JPS podcast/episode 23. I know that was confusing. So jazzpianoschool.com/JPS podcast/episode 23, and you'll be able to see the video of the MIDI notes and my hands as I'm playing. And I think it'll be very helpful. I appreciate all the comments and reviews. It means so much to me, and I thank you. We're at 48 stars right now, 5-star reviews. If we can get to 100, I want to throw a party for everyone. I don't know how I'd do that, but I'll think of a special gift to give away. So if you guys could leave me a 5-star review, I'd really, really appreciate it. All you have to do, it takes one click. Well, maybe one click to get to the rating and then one click to actually rate it. And that's it. You don't have to write anything. It's two clicks of a mouse, and you can help out jazzpianoschool.com, me, and everyone else listening and the people that don't know that this material exists. So if you could do that, I'd really appreciate it. Until next time, guys, as always, please enjoy the material and happy practicing.